this morning I just kind of went over a few things with you. Things, as I said, I could say to you that would be soul-stirring. So many things that I'd like to say to you. And yet we just have a little time from time to time when we're up here. We try to share what little we can. In chapter 1 of the book of Revelation, I'll read this little bit to you. We have gone over this quite a number of times, and we have said things to you to try to get you to relate to what is happening. Now let me say this to you. I know that you love the Lord. I know there are millions of people in the world today that are religious. And they're not just going to church to be going to church. They're going to church looking for something. But unfortunately, they're not finding it. Many, many hundreds of congregations. I know that's true because we travel all over the world. And in many hundreds of congregations, they're not finding it. And when you think of them not finding it, you feel like, Brother Pike, what is this that you're talking about that they don't find? Well, what I'm talking about, they don't find it. This thing that I'm talking about that they're not finding is the thing that makes one the bride of Jesus Christ. There are many operations of this one Spirit. And there's an operation that the church is not finding. I remind you again, Paul in his day, he said, I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, but he said, I cannot. I could say that to Bethlehem. I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, but I cannot. There are many, many people that come to Bethlehem in and out that you're not spiritual, and I cannot speak unto you as unto spirituals. I would like to, but all I can do is ask you to desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. But there are few people. Some would question that. They would say, well, out of the great multitudes, why do you say a few? Because the Bible says few, there be that find it. So if he said it is a few, who am I to say more than a few? It is a few, there be that find it. Out of the tens of thousands and out of the tens of millions of people, there's only a few that's going to find it. I spoke the other night, I made mention of this. When you think of how many will find it, think as a man, you married a woman, how many women are there in the world? How many of those women did you marry? So you can see the minority as in the minority. One woman out of all the world, and this is the woman that you married. So then you can see that the bride of Christ, it will be very few out of all the people in the world. But there is a bride of Christ. There is a bride of Christ. Now, I'm not saying that you don't believe. I'm not saying that you haven't gotten anything from God. I don't say that the churches where millions of people are attending, that they're not getting anything from God. I don't say that. But I do say they're not getting this. And even you that come here, you that are preachers, and you that come here, that know things, and things are revealed to you. And I hear you talk, and you say many good things, but you still didn't get it. You still didn't get it as to that which belongs to the bride of Christ. And you say a lot of things. You go around places. You talk to people. You preach to people. You say all kind of good things, but you still didn't get it. So it is in the minority. It is in the minority. In the days of Noah, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the days of Noah, out of all of the thousands of people, how many people found grace in the eyes of God? Only one person. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, there was 8 people that were saved as to the flood. I know, but they didn't find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And his family was saved. I say this again as we narrow it down. When we come down to Sodom and Gomorrah, how many people were saved there? Only half that were saved in the flood. We've been to the place where the fire and the brimstone came down, and some of you have been to it. You've seen the place where God rained the fire and brimstone down on this earth. You've been right there to it. You've looked at it. How many people were saved? Only half as many. Just four. And then when they crossed the Jordan, as to the next great thing that God did, and to the great deluge, coming out of Egypt into Canaan, how many then were saved? Only two. Only two. Caleb and Joshua. And I say again, most people, they feel like that there was thousands of people were saved, that out of Egypt came thousands of people, and God saved thousands of people, that he took them right on into Canaan. But a lot of times, not being the kind of Bible scholar that we need to be, we overlook things. There's no record where thousands of people were saved that come out of Egypt. There's no record where anybody was saved that came out of Egypt except two, Caleb and Joshua. The rest of them died in the wilderness. All of them died in the wilderness. And only those two were saved. So we see it was just half as many. Eight in the days of Noah, four in the days of Lot, two in the days of Joshua. Only the children of the people that came out of Egypt were saved. The elders died in the wilderness. And then when we come to the next great crossing, which is called Calvary, we find not eight people being saved, and not four people being saved, and not two people being saved, just one person being saved. Out of all of the tens of thousands of people, there was one person that found grace in the sight of God. That was Jesus, his son. So then Jesus alone was made heir to the glory of God. And Jesus and you, that's your hope of entering into that glory of God. For he alone was made heir to it. The Bible said the promise is not to seeds as of many, but as of one. And in Isaac, even the promised son shall thy seed be called. So then Jesus alone was saved. And whatever is called bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, as Paul said, it's not me living, but Christ living within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. For I am bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Only bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, whose body and members ye are in particular, they're the ones that will be saved, just one. For he alone dwells in the light. No man can approach unto it. If you're not bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, then you did not make it into that glory. And, of course, we could comment a long time on those kind of things. Now, if you're restless and you can't stay, don't feel bad, you can leave. Because we don't force anybody to stay. You stay because you want to stay. If you are restless and you feel like it's an imposition to you to be here, you're welcome to go. We won't feel bad at you. But we're here to talk about the Lord Jesus a little. It's very obvious that we give all of our time to the flesh and it doesn't bother us at all. But when we go to listen to the word of God, the devil makes us so miserable and we find 1,000 reasons why we need to go. And of course, that's foolishness. And it means you're just carnally minded, and to be carnally minded is death. So then we settle back and we try to learn about the Lord, to rest in the Lord. And them that's in a big hurry and they can't stay, let them go. Don't worry about them. And don't let them trouble your mind and trouble your spirit. All right, so then we're here tonight to worship the Lord. Chapter 1, I'm going to read just a little bit here. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants, things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. All right, now, I want to point this out to you. I pointed out to you before, but I want to point it out to you again tonight as I try to reason with you just a little bit. What I say to you depends on your attention. Peter said, look on us. I want to point this out to you. I have spoke to you about the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is the revelation of Jesus Christ? I preach this, the revelation of Jesus Christ. In the Philippine Islands, in Luzon, there at the Manila Island, they've got huge banners that go clear across a two-lane highway. They've got 100 or more of them up. I don't know how many of them they've got up. And it says the revelation of Jesus Christ coming to the Philippine Islands. And we preach the revelation of Jesus Christ. We preach it there in the Philippine Islands to thousands of people. The revelation of Jesus Christ. We ask the question a lot of times, what is the revelation of Jesus Christ? What do we mean by the word revelation? The Bible said, pray that God will grant unto you. Pray that God will grant unto you. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Now, somebody might say, well, I'm a Christian, Brother Pike. Well, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. If you are a Christian, I'm not here to question your integrity as a Christian. But the thing is, what is the revelation of Jesus Christ? Now, being a believer, does that mean that you have the spirit of revelation? Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. One spirit, many operations. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Does a church have the spirit of revelation just because they are a church? Or just because they have a good preacher? Or just because they pay tithes? Or just because they go to church regularly? Do they have the spirit of revelation? No. No. Is God talking to a sinner when he says, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation? Is he saying that a sinner should pray that God would grant unto him the spirit of revelation? No. Because the Bible said we know that God heareth not a sinner's prayer. How could God say that unto a sinner? Then what is the spirit of revelation and who is he talking to? He is talking to the saints of God. Someone would say, wait, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that he's telling me I don't have the spirit of revelation when I'm a Christian? He must be telling you that. So then he said, you pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. For Paul said, I would like to speak unto you as unto spiritual, but seeing that you're babes in Christ, I cannot. Being a babe in Christ, he could not speak unto them as unto spiritual because they did not have the spirit of revelation. So then, do you have the spirit of revelation? Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. For it is by the spirit of revelation that this thing comes. What is it? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Someone would say, then, Brother Pike, you mean that God has given you a revelation? It's not given unto us or other people. No. He has given unto the Lord Jesus Christ a revelation that he did not give unto us or other people. Unless we pray that God gives us the spirit of revelation and God grants it unto us. So then it says, not the revelation of Brother Pike. It says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. It didn't say the revelation of Brother Pike that God gave unto him, or the revelation of Brother Taylor that God gave unto him. That wasn't what it said. It said it is the revelation of Jesus Christ, not that he gave unto Brother Branham, not that he gave unto Brother Oral Roberts, not that he gave unto Brother Billy Graham. He didn't say that at all. Not that he gave unto the preachers of the Church of God, the Assemblies of God, the Pentecostals, or the priests of the Catholic Church, or the Church of Science, or any other church, the Baptist, the Methodist, Presbyterian, whatever it is. It doesn't say the revelation that he gave unto those churches. It says the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto him, that is Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that he has shown this unto you and I. And it says that during the time of this revelation, whereas John received the revelation of Jesus Christ from the Lord Jesus and was caught up into heaven, Paul received the revelation of Jesus Christ and was caught up into heaven. And wherever this revelation was, as it was with Jesus in his heart, he was caught up into heaven or into glory. And wherever this revelation comes, it takes people into glory. And whenever this revelation comes, it means it is the end of the world. In any season that you show it to me in the Bible, It is the end of the world. When it came to Jesus in the days of Jesus' lifetime, Peter immediately said, "Ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come." When it came to Paul, Paul also preached that whether in the body or out of the body, he couldn't tell, but he knew that one had been caught up to the third heaven. And of course, there saying that the world had passed away. And it was the same with John. When John received it, he went up to heaven and he saw the world pass away. And so then again, we come to the end of the world here, and the revelation of Jesus Christ is again returning. And now the revelation of Jesus Christ is in the land. What does that mean to you and I? Well, let's look at it for just a moment. It says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and all of all things that he saw. Listen now. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Any time the revelation of Jesus Christ comes, that means the time is at hand, because the revelation of Jesus Christ is the coming of the Lord. So then, the revelation of Jesus Christ is here. What does that mean to you and I? It means it is the coming of the Lord. At last, the coming of the Lord is at hand. So then, the revelation being here, the coming of the Lord is at hand. I said this morning, we here as the people of God at Little Bethlehem, we are not waiting for the coming of the Lord. You may be waiting for the coming of the Lord, and tens of millions of people out in the world are waiting for the coming of the Lord. But we're not waiting for the coming of the Lord. For the Lord is already come. But the Bible said, "I will return the second time without sin unto salvation to them that look for me." Somebody would say, "Well, that means that he's coming back so the world will see him." Well, if that means that he's coming back so the world will see him, what is this that he has said unto us? For he said, "The world shall not see me, but ye shall see me, and I shall be in you. And when you gather together in my name, I will be in the midst of you." He was in the midst of Israel. So then he said, "But the world shall not see me." For he said, "The world shall not see when good cometh." And the Bible said the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. And I pointed out to you today how that the kingdom of God is not far away, but the kingdom of God is at hand, and men are repenting of their sins, and men are pressing against their carnal mind and carnality and carnal way of life, and they're pressing against their human senses to press their way into the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is not far away. The kingdom of God is at hand. And the Bible said they preached the name of Jesus as the door and the entrance, and they preached the kingdom of God. They preached the name Jesus to repent of your sins, to be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, that you might enter into the kingdom of God. For the Bible said concerning you and I, for God hath, which means right now, translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. And so then there is a door, as John said, open in heaven. There is the spirit of revelation, and the revelation of Jesus Christ is here. Someone would say, "Well, Brother Pike, I've gotten revelation." That's great. I'm glad that you've got revelation. A lot of people get revelation, but we're speaking of the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm glad that you get revelation. Children of God get revelation. But you pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation, that you not only may get a revelation, but that God may guide you into all the truth and righteousness of Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible said the Holy Ghost will come. He's a comforter. He will come into your heart, and he will guide you into all truth and all righteousness, that you may be filled with the wonderful knowledge of God, that the kingdom of God may be in your heart. So then, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, then you're not going to have the kingdom of God. You that are believers, you may believe, but that doesn't mean you have the kingdom of God. I know the preaching in the world. You know, I know how it goes. It's by the ritualistics of men. It's by the works of men. It's by the sanctification of men. It's by the endeavors of men. But the Bible said, going about to establish your own righteousness, you stumble at the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. For Jesus has wrought this thing at Calvary, and he hath finished it. So then, you feel, because you are a believer, that you have the kingdom of God and that you have eternal life. But I want you to know, just because you are a believer, it does not mean that you have eternal life. When Billy Graham and great men preach this gospel, and people in churches preach this gospel, and thousands of people go to the altar and repent, that doesn't mean that they're saved. That doesn't mean that they've received God. That doesn't mean they've been born again. That doesn't mean anything. Just to go up and stand around the altar when the preacher calls you to the altar, whether it be in the Oral Roberts crusade or my crusade or anybody else's crusade. When you go up and do that and you say, I'm here because he gives an altar call, and you come to give your heart to God, that doesn't mean that you got saved. Neither does it mean that God has received you. Neither does it mean that you have salvation. Tens of thousands of people have come to those things, and out of all of those has been a very few that's ever found this thing. For straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. And the Bible said, many shall try to enter in and shall not be able to enter in. They'll do all the religious things they can to enter in. But the Bible said, fear not, little flock. It is thy Father's pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom. It is the little flock that gets this. It is the ones that follow Christ whithersoever he goeth. It is the ones that's willing to lay down their lives and lay down the world and forget about the world and come out from among them to be a separate people. Only these people will receive this wonderful thing called the kingdom of God. Going with the world and being part of the world and trying to find your place in the world is the thing that's going to stop you from finding the kingdom of God and having life on the inside. That is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. So then you're going to find that you don't have eternal life. I say this to you again. You may repent, you may cry. You may come to this altar tonight, you may get down on your knees and you may cry. And you may beg God to save your soul, but that still doesn't mean that you've received salvation. The Bible said, and I remind you again, that Esau sought repentance with bitter tears and found no place of repentance. So then God has got to grant repentance unto you for you to be saved. The Bible said we are a royal priesthood and are seating for Christ, and being in his stead, we beseech the world to be reconciled unto God. And he tells us to pray that those that without might receive a place of repentance. For you pray that God will grant repentance to them that are without. It's up to you to pray. That's why we're here. That's why we're saints of God. We are God's people. We are interceding. We're trying to pray that God will let somebody come into the house of God, or somebody be converted and somebody's eyes come open. For the Bible teaches the world don't see what you and I see. The Bible said that they are children of the world and they are children of darkness, and they don't see when good comes. Though these things are preached over the radio, though they're preached over the television, though they come published in the paper or pamphlets or books or whatever, but the Bible said the wicked shall not see when good cometh. For their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, has been blinded, that they may not see these things. Though they see, having eyes, they see not the things of God. And though they hear, having ears, they hear not the things that the Spirit says unto the church. So then hearing and seeing, they don't see. The Bible said, lest at any time they should see, and their heart should be open to the things of God, and God should convert them that they should be saved. So then we're preaching the wonderful revelation of Jesus Christ. What is the step that is a dimension farther, as we would say? It is the revelation. What's meant by the word revelation? When we say revelation, what is meant by the word revelation? You know, people come to the house of God, they hear us, and yet they don't hear us. They hear my oral expression, they hear my vocabulary expression, but they don't hear the Spirit, because they don't have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And they don't give the more earnest heed. They come to church, but they don't half know what the preacher says, because they don't half listen. They don't half pay attention. How could a child graduate from school How could he go from one place to another, as moving from the elementary side of life, going to a diplomacy and not listen and not pay attention? How could he ever do that? He would fail in his grades. He couldn't do that. That's why the Bible said, when you come to the house of God, enter into the gates with thanksgiving and the courts with praise. And that's why the Bible said, give the more earnest heed to the things you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. And take heed how that you hear these things, to incorporate these things within your life, because God's going to require them of you. And the very thing that you might not listen at when the preacher's preaching might be the very thing that you should have listened at to save your life. And it may shorten your life by your disobedience. And the very thing that you're after is life and the gullible desires of life and all of the things of society. All of those things are taken away from you because you didn't listen, because you didn't pay attention, because you didn't want anything of God. And the Bible said, because you had not a love for the truth, God turned you over to reprobate mind. He called you to believe a lie. He sent strong delusions that you may be damned, that you may be trapped, that your life may be gone, for the wicked shall not live their days half out. So then, having no time for God, your days are shortened. And as I said concerning Hezekiah, and concerning those things of the Old Testament, where the Bible said, and these people gave heed to what God had said, and God added 15 years to a man's life. And God has added many years to different people's life because they had a little time for God. But people at a young age are in the grave tonight because they didn't have time for God. They were so busy and gullible that they were using their lives for their own sake. And the Bible said, he that seeks to save his life shall lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake and the gospel's sake shall save it, and that unto eternal life. So then tonight, what is the revelation of Jesus Christ? What is meant by the word revelation? It means revealing. It is revealing. Something is being revealed. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Something is being revealed. I say to you again, when we speak of the revelation of Jesus Christ and we say something is being revealed, if God gave the revelation unto Jesus Christ, what was being revealed to Jesus Christ? What was being revealed to Jesus? He was a man just like I'm a man. He died. His blood came out of his veins. They put him in a tomb. It was an entombment. He was a man just like I'm a man. But what was it that God revealed to that man called Jesus Christ? He revealed to Jesus Christ that he was Almighty God. It was revealed to Jesus Christ that he was Almighty God. On the inside, something spoke to this man. Though he was flesh, though he was blood, yet something said to him on the inside, though you be a man, though you walk as a man, though you talk as a man, though you'll die as a man, I want you to know that you're Almighty God. Come on, folks. I said he was Almighty God, and the Bible said he was the full measure of God. He wasn't part of God. The Bible said, and the fullness of God dwelt within Jesus Christ. For it was the full measure, and in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead is to the body. Bodily speaking, he was the head of the church. It was revealed to him that he was God. God without measure. God to the full extent. A man walking this earth. Somebody would say, well, I don't believe that Jesus taught that. Then what is this that they have said unto him? Well, they use the terms, and for a good work we stone you not, but you being a man, make yourself God. I said, you being a man, make yourself God. He made himself God. Is that right? Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, he couldn't do that. Well, why is it the Bible says to you and I, to as many as believe, to them gave he power to become the sons of God? You have the power to make yourself the sons of God, to as many as believe, to as many as listen, to as many as will be indoctrinated with this truth, had power from God, and you shall receive power. And when do you receive this power? The Bible said, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, then shall you receive power. For you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, that you might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost comes in, that Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ. There's but one Spirit, the Bible said, many operations. So one Spirit, and that one Spirit is Christ. And the Bible said, if you have not his Spirit, you are none of his. Now, what measure are we in Christ? Why do I want the revelation of Jesus Christ? Because if it was revealed to Jesus as a man that he was God,
Then what does it mean if you receive the revelation of Jesus Christ? It means it will be revealed to you that you are also God. You're also God. Somebody says, you mean to tell me, Brother Pike, that a man is God? They wanted to stone him because they said, you being a man, make yourself God. Oh, but somebody says, but there's no buts about it. The revelation of Jesus Christ reveals to you that you are gods. That you are gods. That's why when they wanted to stone Jesus, saying, you make yourself God and you're just a mere man. He said, is it not written in the scriptures that ye are gods, that I called ye gods? If it is written in the scripture that ye are gods and I called ye gods and to whom the word of God came, why then do you say that I blaspheme because I say I'm the Son of God? Didn't the Bible say that Adam was the son of God? Didn't the Bible say, now beloved, are ye the sons of God? Yes. So then if we're sons of God, I say again, could a son of God be anything less than a God? Come on, folks. Can a son of a dog be anything more than a dog? Or can a son of an elephant be anything less than an elephant? Can a son of God be anything less than a God? Can a son of a man be anything less than a man? You say that you're born of God and you say that you're a son. In my natural, I'm a son of my natural father. I am a man because he was a man. And when you are born of the Spirit, you are a son of God. And that makes you a God because he was a God. And gods beget gods and dogs beget dogs and cats beget cats. And men beget men. So then he made us a son of God. And being a son of God, then what does that make us? It makes us gods. What are gods? What are gods? Gods are that which lives on when generations die. One generation comes and then that generation passes away. But the God of that generation lives on. Even a paganistic god over in the old country, one generation passes away and the next generation worships the same God. We have but one God. Many generations have passed away, but we're worshiping that same God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob because gods cannot die. What is a God? You're not like the people out here in the world. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I'm no more than the man up yonder on the corner. I'm no more than these natural people out in the world. That's where you're wrong. Those people out there, they're not gods. They don't live eternally. They die. The Bible said they die like men. But ye are God. Someone would say, yes, but you'll die too, Brother Pike. And the people in the church die too. You've never seen any Christian die. Christians do not die. I say again, Christians cannot die. If they could die, they wouldn't be gods. I say this again to clear your mind. We say that Adam and Eve had eternal life and they died. I tell you again, they did not have eternal life. If they'd had eternal life, they could not have died because eternal life means you can't die. That's what eternal life is. They were overshadowed. They were illuminated by the Shekinah glory of God. And that Shekinah was eternal life. But they didn't have it, neither was they born of it. They were only overshadowed with the mercy of it. Just like as to the blood on the seat of atonement today. And God has poured out of his Spirit, which is eternal life. Upon all people. And they at this time have the blessings of God. And they at this time have the things as to healing. As to a healing medicine. As to something to protect them in this age. But when this age is over, there will not be any healing medicine. You can't go to the doctor when the blood comes off the seat of atonement. You're not going to find any scientist that's perfected anything that can stop your pain. And the Bible said in that day there will be no healing medicines. So there won't be any healing medicines. The Bible said, pray always that you might escape those things that's coming upon the earth. For it's going to be a horrible situation. They'll gnaw their tongue with pains. And their body will burst out with balls. And all the hideous things of the plagues that will be poured out in the air will be there in the tribulation period. For those that do not get the Spirit of Christ, they will be in that time. And the horrible nightmare of what will take place, it will be upon them, but not upon you. So then, what is the revelation of Jesus Christ? Why are we preaching the revelation of Jesus Christ? Why should we go into all the world and preach this gospel to every creature? Why should it be preached in Africa? And why should it be preached in the Philippines? And why should it be preached all over the world? Like Abraham wrote the other day from over in Nigeria, and he said, Brother Pike, God has spoken to me about the ministry. There, he said, your ministry will go into all the world. And he said that this message that you're carrying will be preached in every nation.
Hallelujah.
So then, we're saying, what is the revelation of Jesus Christ? It is that which is revealed unto you and I as to you being gods. It reveals unto you that you are a God. But if you don't have the Spirit, it could not reveal unto you that you are a God. Because you don't have the Spirit of Christ. And if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you could not be a God. Because you can only live forever by this Spirit. For the Bible said one Spirit. And Christ in you, the hope of glory. For he alone was made heir to the glory of God. So you see, the glory of God. You are heir to the glory of God. And this indwelling of Christ makes you a God, which means you cannot die. You cannot die because the Bible said that you pass from death unto life. And you shall never come into condemnation. So then we don't fear death. The Bible said all of our lives we're subject to bondage because of the fear of death. But now that fear of death is gone because we cannot die. So we're not afraid of death anymore. If a person is afraid of death, that means they've not been born again. If you have a fear of death, then that means that you're not perfect in love. The Bible said God has perfected forever them that are sanctified and sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. He has justified, he has sanctified, he has glorified them that belong to him. So then that means that you are not made perfect in love. If you have a fear of death, if you have a fear to meet God, it means that you're not made perfect in love. You're imperfect. So you need to be made perfect in love. You need to get in touch with God. You need to have the infilling of this indwelling Christ so that you can have this revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ from his Spirit which dwelleth within you. So this is why we rejoice. This is why we feel so good. This is why we sing the wonderful songs of Zion. And this is why that we testify boldly that he that is born of God cannot sin. For he that is born of God cannot sin. I know preachers preach, you know, you better not sin. Hold on and don't sin. And if you do sin, go ask God forgiveness. I understand that. But the Bible says he that is born of God cannot sin. Folks, let's leave it like it is. Let's don't try to alter it or change it. The Bible said the word of God cannot be altered. It cannot be changed. See, it's forever settled in heaven. It's the same to a thousand generations. If the Bible says he cannot sin that is born of God, then he cannot sin. If I am to preach what God said, the Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word, and God's word says, he that is born of God cannot sin. I tell you again, it doesn't say he may not sin. If we hold on tight, we won't sin. It says, he that is born of God, he cannot sin because he is born of God. And the seed of God, which is the word of faith, remains in his heart, even Christ, who is the seed of God. And he remains in his heart, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. So then, if we cannot sin, what does that mean? I tell you again, as I told you many times, if you cannot sin, that means you cannot die. Because the sting of death is sin. The sting of death is sin. Friend, if you could sin, did you know that you would still die? You would still die. If you could sin, then you would still die. For the sting of death is sin. And if there is no sin, then there is no sting of death. And if there is no sting of death, then that means you cannot die. And that fulfills the scripture that says you pass from death unto life. And shall never come into condemnation. So then you cannot die. I say again as to differentiate by the revelation of the Lord Jesus between death and sleep. You must remember that people that are put in the grave, that is not death. That is sleep, depending on who they are. If they are a sinner and they go into the grave, then that is death. Because their spirit also went into hell. For the Bible said the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Though his body was in the grave, yet his spirit went in to hell. as to the soul, and there he died. The soul that sinneth shall surely die, and it's an eternal death. It is an eternal death. Someone said if it was that, it would be eternal life, Brother Pike. You'd be eternally alive. I tell you, there's a world of difference between eternally existing and eternally being alive as to live. So it is a death. The Bible said eternal flames, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And God referred to Jacob as a worm, speaking to him as a worm. Where the worm dieth not, he said, Jacob, thy worm, I shall help thee. So then as to the worm, you go through the stages of the worm. You're born into sin. You come into the world. But folks, when we come to the stages of the metamorphosis, as to the butterfly, we leave the cocoon. We leave the worm. We're no longer of the earth, but we are a heavenly creature. And the beautiful colors of the wings of the little butterfly, so are we, because we are God's. We have a covenant within our heart. We sing, God put a rainbow in our spirit. God put a rainbow in our cloud. So then we are taken from the rims of the cocoon by the act of the metamorphosis, and we pass through that, and we become the great heavenly creature. So then we're no longer a worm, and we no longer sin. And if we're no longer a worm, how then can we go into the fire? For the Bible said the fire is the place where the worm dieth not. The worm is the old serpent, born as to a generation of vipers, the Bible said, and all of them are on their belly. And the Bible said all of their labors for their belly, because their belly craved it of them. All the world is laboring for out there is their belly. I say again, it might look like they're after a car. It might look like they're after a house. It might look like they're after land, and so they are. But all of that is to bring convenience to their belly. Because the Bible said all of their labor is for their belly, because their belly craves it of them, because they are the generation of vipers. And the Bible said God has put the serpent upon his belly. And that is the serpent out in the world. He is on his belly. All of his labor is for his belly, because his belly craves it of him. But ye are not a worm. Ye are not on your belly. You are a heavenly creature. You've escaped the worm. Your body, the worm part, is dead by Calvary. It's been buried in the watery grave of the Lord Jesus Christ. He that made sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So then he that was made your sin, that you might be made his righteousness. So then we've escaped death. And today we cannot die, because we have eternal life. If you could die, you couldn't have eternal life. And if you sinned, you shall die. For the Bible said, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. You don't go about sinning, beloved friend. You don't go about sinning. Somebody would say, well, what do you do, Brother Pike, is you sin and sin every day. Somebody says, I sin. And I go to God and I ask him forgiveness of my sins. That's not right at all. You say, you mean to tell me that you don't go to God and ask forgiveness? I certainly do. The Bible said, they said, teach us to pray. Jesus said, pray, Father, who art in heaven, forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Let's give the Lord a hand. Father, deliver us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So then, do I go to God to ask him to forgive me of the sins that I do every day? Of course not. I go to God. Do I go to God and pray to God? I go to God to worship God, to love God, to ask God to deliver me from my trespasses. I might be on private property, as to say, I might speak something I ought not to speak, say something I ought not to say, do something I ought not to do that's unlike the Lord Jesus. Then somebody would say, well, there you are, Brother Pike, that's your sins. No, that's not my sins. How could that be my sins when the Bible said he that is born of God cannot sin? How then could be that be my sins? The Bible said the scriptures cannot be broken. So then the people say, but, Brother Pike, you have to go to God, because the Bible said if any man sin, he hath an advocate with God, which is Christ Jesus the righteous. So then we go to God because we have an advocate. So somebody said we sin and we go up there and say, forgive our sins. No, that isn't right. The Bible said he that is born of God cannot sin. The seed of God remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. So then why do I go to God? I go to God because Jesus is my advocate. What do you mean by the advocate? I mean that the advocate is what took away my sins to keep me from sinning. If any man sinned, Then he hath an advocate, even Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins. That's what the advocate is. It took away our sins. I tell you again, the angel said, Daniel, Messiah shall come and take away your sin. So he came at Calvary 500 years later. He took away sin. When he took away sin, he also took away death. For the Bible teaches that the sting of death is sin. If he took away sin, then I can't sin. Then that means I can't die. That fulfills the scripture that says I pass from death unto life. And shall never come into condemnation. Not only shall never come into condemnation, but the Bible said, happy is he that doth not condemn himself over that thing which he allowed. Don't cast away your faith, which hath great recompense of reward. Don't let the devil beat you down and get in a backslidden condition, as the world would say. Somebody would say, well, then do you believe that people can backslide, Brother Pike, those that have God? Absolutely not. The Bible said, for I will heal your backsliding. And he said, there was a day that I succored you and I healed your backsliding. So then God took away the backsliding. Someone would say, well, I believe that you can lose out with God. I just believe you can backslide. What is this that the Bible says? Woe unto the backslider, for I am married unto you. Then is God married to a backslider? Is the backslider then God's bride? Isn't the backslider full of spots and wrinkles and blemishes? Them that went out, somebody said, well, they went out yonder, Brother Pike. They were with us. They were living a Christian life. They have lived an overcoming life. Now they've backslid on God and they're gone. But the Bible says if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out from us that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. Let's give the Lord a hand. If they'd have been of us, they'd have stayed with us. So then we see that it's not at all the way that some have said. Woe unto the backslider, for I am married unto you. Why is he married unto you? Because he healed your backsliding. He took away your backsliding. You are his bride. He's married to you. You're without spot. You're without wrinkle. You're without blemish. If you were sinning, do you think you would be without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish? No. See, he that is born of God cannot sin. The Bible said that. I didn't just say that. That's the Bible. He that God sendeth will tell you what the Bible said. He will speak God's word. He that is born of God cannot sin because the seed of God, Christ, your hope of glory remains on the inside of you, and you cannot sin because you are born of God. And since you cannot sin, then you cannot die. Because, I say again, the sting of death is sin. And where there's no sin, the soul cannot die because there's no sting of death. And if there's no sting of death, then there is no death. Oh, death, where is thy victory or thy sting? Where is it? Grave, where is thy victory? Where is thy victory? The grave hath no victory because death hath no power. Death hath no power. Jesus took the sting out of death. When he died for you and I, the Bible says from then on, we reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin and unto the world because that Christ died for us. So then if my body is dead, where is sin? For the Bible says sinful flesh and corruptible flesh and all flesh hath corrupted its way before God, and that Satan savors the thing that be of the flesh. And how is the Bible said that we're not in the flesh? For God has chosen us out of the flesh and hid us with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the restoring of all things. If you are in the flesh, you cannot please God. So then, blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. The Christian, God will not impute sin unto him. Blessed is the man whose sins are taken away, forgiven, whose iniquities are covered up by the blood. Charity covered a multitude of sin. Even the love of God manifested in Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, who can separate us from the charity of God? Or the love of God, which is the sacrificial thing that he has given us in his Son. For I am persuaded that heights, depths, things present, things to come, whatever it might be, nothing can separate you from the charity of God, from the love of God, which was manifested in Christ Jesus, in that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So then we can see by this what great and mighty people we are. We have passed from death unto life. And I want to remind you again, this death that we speak of is the lake of fire. For death, I remind you again, that death is not when your body and spirit separates. The Bible said at death, what we term to be death, that the spirit goeth back to God who gave it. So then, according to your terminology of my death, I reckon myself to be dead indeed, but Calvary, as to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was buried in a watery grave, and my spirit went back to God who gave it. My spirit is in the kingdom of God, which is in Christ, and I'm hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the restoring of all things. So then my body is dead, my body is buried. But friend, listen, Jesus said Lazarus sleepeth. They said he's sleep. If he sleeps, he doth well. Let's not go awake him. But Jesus said plainly to them, because of their misunderstanding of his terminology, said Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. He said he's asleep. I go to wake him. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery, the revelation. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Well, there's coming a time as to the Thessalonian change when people like you sitting here, hundreds and thousands of people, they're not going to go into a grave. They're not going to dig a hole. They're not going to throw dirt over their face. Paul said this revelation, this word of God, it's powerful, more powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And that this wonderful word of God is going to come into the hearts of people. And there's going to be people that will forsake the world and forsake their way of life, that they may receive the revelation of the Son of God, so that their bodies will not have to be put in caskets, and that they'll not throw dirt over their face. He said, behold, I show you mystery. You shall not all sleep. As to what the world calls death, as to the spirit departing from the body. But ye all shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the coming of the Lord, at the last trump. Thessalonians changed, caught up to be with the Lord. The dead in Christ shall come forth, even those out of the grave. They'll be caught up to be with the Lord Jesus. So see, that's not death, that's sleep. For a Christian, that's not death, that's sleep. But if a person's soul has not been born into the kingdom of God, if that soul has not come into the ways of God, they're automatically sinners. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, they'd have to sin to be lost. They don't have to sin to be lost. They are sinners. Why are they sinners? Because they've come to the knowledge of God. God has poured out of his spirit. He's put the blood on the seat of atonement. He's let all flesh hear the gospel, for the end shall not come till the gospel has been preached in all the world to every creature, so that they may be a sinner. For a sinner is one that knows to do and will not do. And a person that knows to do that don't have the Spirit of Christ, they cannot do. If they can do without the Spirit of Christ, why didn't Israel make it in? Why didn't Israel, who sacrificed all the day long and done ritualistics all the day long and tried to do everything that they could to please God all down through the ages, why is it they did not obtain unto salvation? For you cannot do for God. It is Christ on the inside of you, your hope of glory. He's done it all. He did it. He fulfilled everything. We are complete in him. And it is his righteousness that's within us. Paul said that in that day we'd be found not with our own righteousness as to works. For it's not of works, lest any man should boast. But being found with the righteousness of God, I remind you again that the two that went up into the temple, one did all of the ritualistic, one went through the praying, one went through the fasting. And he said, I thank thee, Father, because I'm a different man. I'm not like the world. And God did not justify him. He went away without salvation. Then came another man that did not fast, another man that did not pray, another man that had not done anything, and he called on the name of the Lord. The Bible saying that it shall come to pass that he that calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He called on the name of the Lord. And the Bible said he went down to his house justified. Let's give the Lord a hand. So then we praise the Lord because of his wonderful blessing. We pass from death unto life. What is this that we say that this church has found, or these people that have found, that many other people have not found? The revelation of Jesus Christ. And the God revealing within you or to you that you are a God and that you cannot die and that you cannot sin and that you pass from death unto life and that you're holy and godly. Someone would say, well, my believing makes my spirit that way. But the Bible said to be holy in body, for the body is the Lord, not to let sin dwell in your mortal body, not for a moment. So then the body is also holy. Holy. How can it be holy? Because we're bone of his bone and we're flesh of his flesh. No more I that liveth, but it is Christ that liveth within me, and the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. For I am bone of his bone and I am flesh of his flesh, Paul said. So then we are holy in body, we are holy in spirit. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, I sin. How can you sin? How can you sin? The Bible said, he that is born of God keepeth himself. And the evil one toucheth him not. If the evil one never touches you, how can you sin? Sin is when the evil one toucheth you. And the Bible teaches God is coming back after a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. That means someone that keepeth himself, that the evil one toucheth him not. Another thing is if we can work our way under this, how is it the Bible said that this was given us in Christ before the world ever was? And that God so loved us while we were yet in our sins that he gave Christ to die for us? How is it then that before the world ever was, then I have become a Christian? For the Bible said, I am his elect by foreknowledge as to what he knew. For if he elected me unto grace, and no one can lay anything to my charge. For I am God's elect. I am perfect before God, for he hath perfected me forever. And perfected me because I am sanctified. And the Bible said he has sanctified me once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus at Calvary. That's why I say again, Esau and Jacob. Somebody would say, what about them, Brother Pike? I remind you again. The Bible said the children not yet having been born, having done no good or evil. They hadn't done any kind of works of righteousness or any kind of works of wrong. The Bible said so that it might stand by election and not by works, but of him that calleth, it was said that the elder shall serve the younger. And it is said that Jacob have I loved the younger, but Esau have I hated the elders. And so the elders died in the wilderness. They mumbled and grumbled against Moses, and God raised their children up with Joshua and Caleb and took them into the Canaan land. So they looking back into Egypt, they turning back into the heart. Look at the church world today. God has brought them out with a mighty hand of deliverance through the blood of Jesus Christ and by the works of Jesus Christ. But what do? They come to church, and as it is written in the Old Testament, the sow goes back to her wallowing in the mire after she's been washed. Look at the women that come to church. They'll come to church. They don't get God in their heart. They come into this light. They hear this gospel. They know this thing. And what does the old sow do? She goes right back to her wallowing in the mire. She goes right back to her old worldly way of life. Look at the man that comes. He comes, does he turn to God? The Bible said, and the old dog goes back to lapping his vomit. As it is written of him, Jesus said, and this is what they do. Though I brought the washing of regeneration, and though I brought the blood for the cleansing, and though I give grace and pour out my spirit upon all flesh, but they see the light, and they don't love light because they're children of darkness. And they don't want to walk in the light, and neither will they come to the light, that their deeds may be manifest. For the Bible said they love darkness because their deeds are evil. They love the things of the world. Satan's interwoven with their body. And Satan has them, and they are children of bondage. They are the bastard child. That's the image. And Adam, all die. That is the bondage child. They're in bondage to the beggarly elements of this world by their understanding, by their hungers, by their thirst, by their desire. But you and I, the Bible said, we hunger and thirst after the things of God. So then we are to be filled. So then we see this wonderful thing of God. What is the revelation of Jesus Christ? It is the revealing of God's desire. It is the revealing of another world. It is the revealing of the way that we should go. It is the revealing of how that we should conform to the things of God. It is the revealing to us that we have eternal life. It is the revealing to us that we are gods, that we live forever, that we cannot come into condemnation because we cannot sin. We pass from death into life. We're not in the sinful body, and the body is dead because of sin. God had to kill it. But we are in the spirit. The first man, Adam, of living soul. We're not a living soul. We are a quickening spirit. That is to say, a living soul that has been changed into an eternal existence. For the second man, Adam, was a living, he was a quickening spirit. So we pass from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. Your soul can never die because your soul cannot sin. And because you cannot sin, there's no need to condemn yourself, because there is now therefore no condemnation to them from God, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And beloved friend, you can't walk in the flesh because you're not in the flesh. He's chosen you out of the flesh. And your flesh is buried in water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's give him a hand. What is this wonderful thing that our father Abraham has found as pertaining to the faith? What is this wonderful thing that God has done for us that he is to reveal to the saints at the end time, that they may have an overcoming faith and a confidence that will keep them from being put into an entombment or having the dirt thrown in their face, that they might suddenly realize that death is not part of the plan of God as to being God's friend? Remember that death is the enemy of God. Death hath no part in this. God did not bring forth death. You're the ones that brought forth death. You women brought forth death. You men brought forth death. God did not bring forth death. For the Bible said death came not by God, but it came by mankind. And he was the one that paid the price at Calvary, even the man, for bringing death. So then God is not the friend of death. Death is an enemy to God, and it steals God's creature. Is death your friend when it steals your little boy and steals your little girl? Do you consider that I brought these into the world and these are my precious and my beloved? Now then death is my friend. He's going to take them and put them in a casket. No more does God do it than you do it. Are we then intelligent and God is not intelligent? Do we have enough understanding that we know better? And do we have enough love for our children that we would do greater toward our children than God would for his children? He came and gave his blood that death may not have preeminence over you. For death is the enemy of God. And the Bible said, behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So then death is conquered. It's the last enemy to be conquered so far as the world is concerned, as the sin, the manifestation of it. But you've conquered it in Christ Jesus. All right, let me say this in closing. So what is the revelation of Jesus Christ? We're saying this again. Death is the lake of fire. The Bible calls that the second death. There's only one death, and that is the lake of fire. But it's the second death to human beings as to their terminology. Second death, for that is the death of the soul. Death is when your spirit is separated from God's spirit, and your spirit goes down, that is your soul goes down into the flames of fire, where the fire is not quenched, and where the man cried and said, give me just a little water to cool my parching tongue. You pass from that, you shall never be turned into hell, which is death. So you pass from death, what you call the second death, unto life, and your spirit can never be separated from God. The body, as to the separation of the spirit from your body, and yet your spirit is still with God, that is sleep. Paul said, a mystery, I show it to you, we shall not all sleep. Thessalonians change. You're going to get this understanding. A generation will get it. And they're not going to put them in boxes. They're not going to put them in entombment. So then we see the difference. There is a sleep. God will awake us. And the Bible said, them will God bring with him. Christ will bring with him when he comes. So when the revelation is nigh at hand, it means that the end of the world is nigh. Follow me? All right, let's stand together. We could go on. The songwriter said, talking about this good old way. Let us go on talking about the Lord. Why talk about the Lord? Because there's no prophet in anything else. There is no prophet in anything else. Why talk about anything else? Why do I want to clutter my mind up with feeding my belly and getting the things of the world when I already own everything in the world and all things are mine and I'm going to enjoy them throughout eternity? And my heart and my appetite and everything will be satisfied throughout eternity. Why should I cut me off a little place over here and try to hoard that when I own all things? For the Bible said all things are yours. I've given unto you all things that pertain unto life, whether it's natural life or for the world to come. For godliness is profitable for this world and the world to come. He that loseth his life for my sake and for the gospel's sake shall obtain it and keep it unto life eternal, even life. The securities as to the eternal benefits of God. But he that seeketh to save his life, to do his own thing, to set up his own thing in this world, to go about to do his own thing, to be what he wants to be in this life, the Bible said he shall lose his life as to eternal source. As to eternal security, he shall have no life. So then we rejoice in Christ. because we are eternal. We rejoice in the Lord. That's why we sing that song. Paul said unto them, rejoice. And then in the scripture he said, and I say unto you again, rejoice. And somebody wrote a song and it says, rejoice. And again, I say unto you, rejoice. You love the Lord? Coming to the close of another service, another record, another day. And what have we done for Jesus? What have we done for Jesus? We sing that song, Jesus, use me. Oh Lord, please don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, cause my will to crumble. For though the task be great, I'll work for you. Let's sing that little chorus. If you want to be used of God, sing that with me. So Jesus, use me. And oh Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. Can you sing that with me? And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cost be great, I'll work. Sing it. So, Jesus, won't you use me? And, oh, don't refuse me. For surely there is the work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross is great, I'll work. Sing that with me, folks, can you? So, Jesus, won't you use me? And for surely there's the work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross, one more time, say it. So, Jesus, won't you use me? And, oh Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work for you. And when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. Oh, this battle is over. I'm gonna wear the crown in the Jerusalem. I'll wear a crown. I'll wear a crown. I'll wear a bright and shining crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new. Shining crown. For when
battle is over. I'm gonna wear the crown in the dude Jerusalem.
And somebody would say in Brother Pike, one of these great wonderful mornings, serving God and holding on until the Lord comes and He's going to give me a crown. There'll never be any days like that. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Well, the Bible said, hold fast and let no man take your crown, which means we already have it. And Paul said, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. The judge will give it to me in that day. That is to say, you'll put it on this, as you would say, your natural head as to the redemption of this body. No, not like that. It is a crown of life. It crowns your soul with life. Life, immortality, crowned with immortality. You'll only recognize it at the change of the body. That's all. We have our crown. We have our crown. You have given us a crown. Hold fast to your crown. Don't let any man take your crown away from you. For it crowned your soul with immortality as to eternal living, and the immortality will show in your body. Well, there's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. As you've borne the image of the earthly, so shall you bear the image of the heavenly. But, beloved friend, ye are not in the flesh. Why worry about the flesh? The flesh profiteth nothing. We are saints of God. Somebody say hallelujah. All right. Let's sing this little chorus. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. 32,000 promises. God has given them all to you. All things that pertain unto life. So every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, hang it again with me. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise, can you sing that with me? So every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in God's word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. So let us praise Him, praise Him. Praise Him in the morning, praise Him at the noontime. Praise Him, praise Him. Praise Him when the sun's going down. So let us love Him. Love Him in the morning, love Him at the noontime. Love Him, let us love Him, love Him when the sun goes down. Oh, let us praise Him, praise Him, and praise Him at the noontime. Praise Him, praise Him when the sun is going down. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down. Sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. And heaven's come down. Oh, let us praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning and praise Him at the noontime. I want to praise Him. Praise Him when the sun is down. Oh, let us love Him. Love Him.
God has got something to praise him about. You got something to praise him about, folks. You're eternal. Come on, children of the resurrection. I said, come on, children of the resurrection. Oh, let us love him. Love him, children of the resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know my brother shall live again in the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He that believeth on me shall never die. Somebody say hallelujah. Never die. Children of the resurrection. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Well, I think I'll testify. Just while I have a chance, think I'll testify. Just while I have a chance, will I think I'll testify. Just while I have a chance, cause I may not have this chance anymore. Will I think I'll love the Lord. Just while I have this chance, think I'll love the Lord. Just while, don't you just love to love him? Think I'll love the Lord. Ain't it good to know he's not angry with you? Peace on earth and goodwill toward man. By our darling Savior. Will I think I'll love the Lord? Just while I have the chance. Think I'll love the Lord. Just while I have a chance. I think I'll love the Lord. Just while I have a chance. Cause I may not have this chance anymore. Everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright since Jesus came and saved my soul. Everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be. How many of you believe everything's gonna be alright? What are you worried about? Things gonna be. You believe it? What are you worried about? Come on, folks. Quit your worrying. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. Gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be. Gonna be all right with your loved ones. Gonna be all right with you. Everything's gonna be all right. Don't matter what the world does. Everything's gonna be all right. Things gonna be all right. Young folks, everything's gonna be all right for you because you love Jesus. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to his purpose. Come on, don't you believe that? Relax in the Lord. Love the Lord. Don't worry. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Everything's gonna be. Said, whatever you ask in my name, give you anything you want. Isn't that heaven? Isn't that heaven? Live forever to enjoy. Don't worry about dying. You can't die. Remember them people I saw in the millennium? They made it over. Remember? Children of the resurrection. Everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. You know, you believe that now. When I first started preaching this, you was trying to believe it, but you're believing it now. That's what's going to bring the Lord to them people out yonder. He'll suddenly appear within you, his temple. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Jesus came, saved your soul. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right since Jesus came and saved your soul. Things gonna be all right. So let us love him. Love him. Love him in the morning. Love him at the noontime. Let us love. Love when the sun is going down. Praise Him in the morning. God inhabits the praise of His people. Praise Him. Praise Him when the sun is going down. For sometimes I feel like heaven. It really has come down. Really has. Oh, heaven has come down. Sometimes I feel like heaven's come down, baby Paul. Heaven. So let us love.